Welcome to the second European Parliament Anti-Racism and Diversity Intergroup podcast. My name is Alpheus Vaya and I'm the coordinator of ARDI as well as the host of today's podcast. Today we will be discussing rising anti-migrant racism and growing radicalization in the European Union. I would like to welcome today's guest, Afzal Khan, member of the European Parliament, Vice Chair of Security and Defence Committee, and a member of the European Parliament Anti-Racism and Diversity Intergroup. Before bringing in Afzal, I would like to briefly introduce the topic and the current situation in Europe. Once considered unpopular and violent remnants of Europe's troubled past, far-right parties have re-emerged as the voice of a growing population. With the recent influx of Syrian asylum seekers and refugees, nationalist parties have only garnered more popular support and spread anti-immigrant sentiment across Europe. The influx of asylum seekers, refugees, has led to increased popularity for nationalist parties in countries like France and Hungary, two of the countries that are highly affected by immigration from Syria. Heightened support for anti-immigrant parties has also bled over into nearby countries that haven't seen success with ultra-conservative parties or movements, such as Germany. Moreover, increasing xenophobia against migrants and the rise of groups such as the anti-Muslim movement Pegida has led to young men and women from minority groups, especially within the Muslim community, feeling alienated in Europe and in some cases becoming radicalized. Turning over to you, Afzal, how do you assess the current situation in Europe regarding rising xenophobia towards migrants?
I find it very disappointing seeing ourselves in this situation. We see the whole world in a way which is a global village where there is much more interaction and interdependent on one another. And yet the response we are seeing with the refugee crisis is there are many elements who are very narrow-minded. All we've got at the moment is a million refugees. But this is a continent or EU which is a 500 million plus. If you look at many other countries, many of these are developing countries. They have something like 25% of their population. So I think that is not very positive. It's not about what our values are, how we've been dealing with this. We have been here before. We've seen the huge migration after the Second World War, refugees, and how we dealt with that. So I think we can do better.
You touch upon the issue of refugees who came after the end of the Holocaust. How do you think Europe should react now, given that many citizens of Europe or their families had themselves come to certain countries in Europe from other countries in Europe as refugees?
Well, I think the message is simple and straightforward. We have one humanity, one world. It's about really sharing that space. It's about making sure we have the full potential of each individual. Clearly, there are difficulties, and these difficulties are complex. So we need to be working on trying to resolve those. But in the meantime, those who need our help, I think as a fellow human beings, we actually should be open-minded and with an open heart. We should welcome them and give them that opportunity.
As an MEP who was born in Pakistan, how do you feel, given what you are seeing today in Europe?
Well, I think in a way, it's a good example. I came as a migrant here, you could say. I was adopted as a child, and then I've grown up, and I've been contributing ever since I've been an adult to the life of Europe. And as a representative MEP now, again, is a position where you do exactly that, serving the people of the EU. So I think that is the potential of anyone else as well. And that's probably the positive ways of looking at it. How do we make sure, for whatever reason, the circumstances they find themselves in, that we give them the best chance? And they usually have a tremendous drive. And therefore, they themselves can be a very positive role model and a very positive way of they can contribute to the Europe.
I think it's very important when you allude to the chant, to the idea that we give everyone a chance to succeed without already labeling them as though they won't be able to succeed in Europe. And that brings me to my next question. What do you think of the role that some political leaders and the media play in fanning xenophobia against migrants in Europe? And what do you also think, and being from the Socialists and Democrats and a member of the British Labour Party, what do you think of certain centre-right and centre-left parties in Europe mimicking policies of the extreme far-right?
Yeah. Well, I think it's clear that the populist politicians are actually playing with the fear. And at the same time, they're actually failing to provide any positive answers to the challenge. So nobody is saying that there are no challenges. Of course there are challenges when sort of that scale of people move, and it has a huge impact. But the true and good leadership requires providing those answers, and it's the failure of that and playing with fear and simplistic ideas that actually is not being helpful at all. And they're not helping the refugees, and they're certainly not helping the people who are already settled here. And I think the socialists, in that sense, really need to up their game and provide those answers and solutions. And in particular, I think it's all about some of the basic needs of any individual and the family, and making sure those needs are met properly. And as a society working together, we do have the means. We are probably the most developed and probably the most richest part of the world. So we do have the means, we do have the ability in order to deliver. It's just providing the good leadership which is missing.
And you talk about answers and solutions and being a member of the European Parliament. How do you think the European Union should react to the situation? I mean, what can the European Union do more specifically?
I think there are layers to this issue. So first is the refugees. I think our whole attitude has to be much more positive and try to do our bit, whether you are as an institution, as a government, or as an individual. I think we all have a role to play. The second one, as a government, we should be looking at the root causes and see how can we make sure there's stability. Many of these individuals, you know, unfortunately, we have never been in that position where you have forced to leave everything that you have to uncertainty, to another part of the world where you have many difficulties. So there's a tremendous pressure on those. So how can we make sure that we can play that important part of bringing about stability? Again, you know, as a European Union, we are very powerful. We do have a voice. And we need to be much better players in order to bring that stability.
You recently be appointed as the special representative of the S&D group to Muslim communities. How do you feel about the threat to young men and women being radicalized? And what do you envisage your role to be in this position? And how will you contribute from your role to making sure that young men and women don't become radicalized and are also integrated properly? How will you put the onus onto the Muslim community, but also to fellow politicians and the media?
Look, it's a two-way process. It's a two-way street, where we all have a responsibility to take that step towards one another. So as in a nutshell, my role is to be that catalyst in order to encourage or taking that step from both sides. I think Muslim community is an important community. They're part 1.4 billion in the world. And the way the world is moving and the more connections that we're having, we need to be building on those connections. The stronger those connections, the stronger our relationship will be. I've done much work in Britain where we've been trying to strengthen the community cohesion. Again, there'll be lessons and things that can be shared in the mainstream in European Union as well, to strengthen that. And then some of the young people who are from the Muslim background, there are issues about the identity, who exactly are they, and how they're being treated, and therefore how they react. And then some of these extreme elements, the Daesh alike, who are then playing on some of that narrative. And sadly, some of these populist politicians straight walk into that as well by playing sort of same narrative that they're actually not welcome. This is not their place. This is Christian area and they're Muslims. When you look closely, actually, there's not that much difference. The Ten Commandments are actually shared by the Judaism, Christianity and Islam. There's nothing different at all in that. And at one point, actually, all these three faiths came from the same place. So there is so much commonality which we need to be celebrating. And when you don't know about this commonality, that's when you see the differences only. And it's that role so that the young people actually then can see some good role models as well to see how they can play their part. And of course, we need to be tackling some of these deep demons that have been existing. And we have to be honest about that so that in society, every individual, their potential is utilized in order to make the society better. And by having this racism, this is precisely what you lose out. You don't use the full potential of every individual. We all lose out.
I think that's a very good ending. Thank you very much for taking part in today's podcast.
Thank you very much.